Would you please turn to Hebrews chapter 12? Hebrews chapter 12, look at verse 2. Looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who, for the joy that was set before Him, endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. That phrase, despising the shame is associated with the crucifixion. One of the things that they would do generally is crucify a person totally unclothed. So just the embarrassment of something like that would be counted as the shame. And where it says despising the shame, it means that He did not esteem the shame to be that big of a deal. Or in other words, He discounted the impact of the shame. So He says, it says here, for the joy that was set before Him endured the cross, did not take into consideration, or did not, he did not consider the shame of the entire process of being crucified to be a horrible, horrible thing. He overlooked it. He discounted it. He belittled it, if you will. And is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. Now put a marker here in Hebrews 12. And then turn over to John chapter 15. John chapter 15. We're coming back to Hebrews 12 here in just a few moments. John chapter 15, verse 11. Jesus said, "These things have I spoken unto you, that My joy might remain in you, and that your joy might be full." These things have I spoken unto you, that My joy might remain in you, and that your joy might be full. Then in chapter 16, verse 24, "Hitherto have ye asked nothing in My name. Ask, and ye shall receive, that your joy may be full." Then in chapter 17, verse 13, Jesus is praying and says, "And now come I to thee, and these things I speak in the world, that they might have My joy fulfilled in themselves." My joy fulfilled in themselves, that My joy might remain in them. Look in Romans chapter 14. Romans chapter 14. One verse, verse 17. "For the kingdom of God is not meat and drink, but righteousness and peace and joy in the Holy Ghost." So what we've seen to this point is the fact that Jesus is identifying there is a joy that is associated with who He is in God. And He wants that joy to be a joy that we experience. Here we see that there is a joy which is directly related to the kingdom of God. And it's something that is associated with the Holy Ghost. Now look in Galatians chapter 5. Galatians chapter 5, in verse 22. "But the fruit of the Spirit," that is your born-again spirit, your new nature, "the fruit of your new nature is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Against such there is no law." Joy is a part of the fruit of the new nature. This joy that He's been speaking about. Look in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. I'm sorry, 1 Thessalonians chapter 1. 1 Thessalonians chapter 1, verse 5. For our gospel came not unto you in word only, but also in power, and in the Holy Ghost, and in much assurance, as ye know what manner of men we were among you for your sake. And ye became followers of us and of the Lord, having received the word in much affliction with joy of the Holy Ghost. Where here there's a direct connection between receiving the word and this joy that is associated with the Holy Spirit. Look in James chapter 1. James chapter 1. Take a look at verse 2. My brethren, count it all joy when you fall into or experience diverse temptations. Count it all joy. Another way to say that, a variation on this theme, could be, and it's not the exact rendering, but it could be, count on joy when you face temptations. No matter what the temptation, no matter what it is, count on joy. Count on joy. Remember what with Jesus. The joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame. When you face temptations, count on joy. Now look, well, actually, you don't have to turn to it. I'll just quote from it. Nehemiah chapter 8, verse 10. At the end of that verse, it says, the joy of the Lord is your strength. Now turn back to Hebrews chapter 12. What we've seen so far is a very unique characteristic of being born again, and that characteristic is joy. This type of joy cannot be explained in human terms. It has nothing to do with happiness. Happiness is very emotion-based. This particular joy is associated with being born again. It is a part of our new nature. When you get born again, the capacity for this joy comes with it. If you're not born again, it is impossible to have this joy. The fruit of your born-again spirit, love, joy, peace, etc. So unless you have the born-again spirit, that fruit cannot be produced. So what we know then is that there is a joy that is associated with being born again that has nothing to do with human existence, but everything to do with the very life and nature of God. In Hebrews chapter 12, verse 2, looking unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and as a result of all that, is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. For the joy that was set before him. You know, in the message this morning, we talked about the fact that Jesus had authority here on earth. He used his authority to submit to the will of the Father. Well, taking that a little bit further, there was a joy that was set before him. This joy was supernatural. This joy impacted him in such a way that he was willing to endure everything associated with being crucified, despising the shame that came along with the crucifixion. But not only that, remember, he was made our sin. Which means it's not just a matter that he endured the crucifixion. Because of the joy that was set before him, he willingly allowed himself to be made sin. Because that joy that was set before him strengthened him, it motivated him, it, if you want to say, empowered him to say, yes, I'll go this direction. Even when he was on the cross and he was saying, my God, why have you forsaken me? There was still that element of the joy that was out there. Even though he went through the most horrific experience any human could ever go through, there was a joy that was set before him. The verses that we've read from John, Romans, Galatians, and so forth, this gives us a glimpse of that same joy. Jesus made the statement, I've spoken these things, done these things, etc., because I want my joy to remain in them. Not just be in them, but remain in them. This means it's very possible for us as believers to fluctuate in this joy. It's very possible for us to, if you will, have that joy stolen. It can't be removed from the capacity of our new nature, but our concept of it can be stolen. This joy enables us, when we get a hold of it, when it is before us, this joy enables us to persevere and do everything that God's called us to do. If we allow the joy to be stolen, then we will lose focus of our purpose in this life. What was Jesus' purpose? Well, to be our sacrifice. For the joy that was set before him, he endured the cross and despised the shame. If we lose that joy, if we allow it to be stolen somehow, we will lose focus of our purpose. The joy that is associated here, what we've read in Scripture, this joy that is associated with the new nature, it's supernatural. It is it's something that only comes from God. And it works in us to produce clarity of vision when it comes to serving God and fulfilling His purpose in our lives. Because we associate this word joy with feel good, it is very difficult for our minds to have any comprehension of what I'm talking about here tonight. Because we don't always feel good. We're not always happy. And I know I've been in situations before and people say, well, brother, don't let it steal your joy. Don't let it steal your joy. Well, you know what? Jesus wasn't too happy about being crucified. But the joy was still set before him. Just because I'm not happy about something doesn't mean that my joy has been stolen. However, I can allow the thing to impact me. Whatever it is, I can allow it to impact me. I begin to lose focus of my joy. I begin to lose focus of God's purpose for my life. And I'll be honest, guys, it's difficult to even teach on this because it is spiritual in nature. It's kind of like God trying to explain himself to humans. Well, I am God the Father. Well, I am God the Son. I am God the Holy Spirit. And my Son Jesus was on earth praying to me and then being filled with the Holy Spirit. Yet, we three are one. Well, how on God's green earth or God's holy heaven do you explain something like that? How do you comprehend that? And this is why a lot of people say, well, when you speak about the Trinity, you're talking about three gods and that's blasphemy. No, it's not. When you read Scripture, you see God representing himself to us three different ways. How in the world do you explain God being everywhere all at the same time? How can God hear everybody's prayers all at the same time? See, you can't put this into human terminology that makes any kind of sense whatsoever. That's what this joy is all about. It is a part, it is an aspect, it is a fruit of our new nature. Meaning, it's there in you now. I've heard Christians say things like, and I'll just kind of paraphrase and what all, you know, well, I just don't have any joy. That's not true. You do have joy. It's there. Because if it's not there, then your spirit, your born-again spirit, can't produce it. It cannot bear that fruit. So the potential of that joy has to be there. That's like if I take an apple seed and I plant it and tree begins to grow and then time passes and I walk out one day and I see apples on the tree and I get all upset and say, you know, just, wow, man,
This is stupid. I wanted oranges. I planted that seed in the ground. Now, what's the problem? Honestly, the seed didn't have the capacity to produce oranges. It could only produce apples. Well, likewise, my born-again spirit produces joy. It has that capacity. You know what it can't produce? It can't produce fear. My born-again spirit cannot produce fear. Because God has not given us a spirit of fear. My born-again spirit can't produce fear. So, if I, as a Christian, say something like, I just don't have any joy. I'm either lying, or I don't understand, or I got a real problem. I'm lost. Because if I'm born again, the joy is there. It's there. The only way it cannot be there is if I become twice dead. Read Jude. But that joy is in there. It's there. It's what I do with it that makes a difference. That joy, see, when we see, read what we read here tonight in Scripture, that joy is set before us. That's why God, well, it's a reason why God put verses like this in here. It's to try and set that joy before us. To try to help us to understand, no matter what you go through, this joy is there. And if you hold on to it, it will sustain you through everything. There are other verses along with what we've read here that talk about having gone through tribulation and trials and problems and blah, blah, blah. And there's the joy. And there's the joy. And you had the joy. That joy is there. Joy doesn't mean you're smiling all the time. Joy produces, the joy we're talking about here, it produces a resolve that says, I will not quit. I will not give up. I will succeed. I will do this. You know, it may be difficult, there may be a battle, but I will succeed. I'm going to make it. Why? Because for the joy that is set before me, I will do it. There may be battles, but I will do it. I will succeed. I will go forth. Ultimately, I guess you could say the true culmination of joy is when we hear, well done, thou good and faithful servant. However, that joy is for now. I know I'm going to have it in eternity, okay? I mean, how can you not have joy when you're forever with the Lord? But that joy, what we're reading here in Scripture, is about living in the here and now. Jesus had that joy that was set before him. Hey, listen, this joy that it's talking about here in Hebrews 12:2, this was not something that just happened the day he was arrested. This was something that kept him going throughout his entire ministry for the joy that was set before him. The joy of the Lord was his strength. The joy of the Lord is supposed to be our strength. When we hold on to this, okay, there was a place in Scripture talked about receiving the Word with joy. The Word of God is directly connected with this joy. The more we sow the Word into us, is the more the joy begins to come forth. It's the kind of joy that gets you to the place to where you stop complaining about things. You stop fussing about things. Because you realize, remember it talks here about Jesus despising the shame? You begin to count it as a small thing, all the stuff that happens. It happens, but you begin to count it as a small thing. You say, well, it sounds like you're just, you know, trying to belittle all of our problems. Well, yeah, I mean, it's not a denial of problems, but it is a belittling of them. In other words, we're making them smaller than what they really are. I want you to turn to Matthew chapter 11. Matthew chapter 11. God has not given us a spirit of fear, a nature of fear. He's given us a nature, part of which is joy. Part of the ingredients, if you will, of that new nature is joy. In Matthew chapter 11, look in verse 28. Jesus says, "Come unto me, all ye that labor and heavy laden, I will give you rest." But now look at these next two verses. "Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and ye shall find rest unto your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light." My yoke is easy and my burden is light. He's using words we don't want to use. The word yoke and burden. We don't want those words. We don't want to hear those words. We don't want them associated with day-to-day life. And he's saying, "Take my yoke upon you." Well, a yoke is a heavy thing. "Take my burden." You see, my yoke is easy and my burden is light. That doesn't make sense. Yokes and burdens are yokesome and burdensome. I don't want to be yoked. And that's no joke. I don't want to be yoked. I don't want to be burdened. I just want to be happy for the joy that is set before you. Is the joy really set before you? I mean, really, do you see it? Have you captured it? He says, "My yoke is easy and my burden is light." And remember, we're talking here about this joy. There is nothing, you guys need to listen to this, and I'm just going to read it to you. You need to listen very, very closely. There is nothing that the Lord will ask us to do that will add to our burdens or be a burden. Our flesh interprets His instructions as an inconvenience, as weighty, as adding stress, as requiring more hours than the 24 allotted to each day, and as impossible to accomplish. But the flesh is a liar. The flesh is a liar. When you begin to hear the Lord give you instructions about doing this or doing that, one of the first things that's going to, for everybody, in this beginning learning stage, how am I going to do that? How am I going to do that? Here's my life, and my life is already jam-packed with everything, and you're asking me to what? How am I going to do that? Now, if I do this, how am I going to fit it into my schedule? You know, you're just adding more to my life. The reality is He is subtracting from your life. He says, "My yoke is easy and my burden is light." Therefore, by accepting His yoke and His burden, He is actually subtracting stuff from our lives, not adding to it. But we don't see it that way. And the reason we don't is because the joy is not set before us. If the joy were set before us, we would endure the yoke. We would endure the burden because we realize He's not adding to our problems. He is eliminating problems. The thing is, we don't realize how problem-filled our lives are. We become so numb to problems, we accept them as a part of everyday living, and we don't even call them problems anymore. But anything that is interfering with us being obedient to the Lord and what He's told us to do, that is a problem. But we become so accustomed to doing all of that, we see Him wanting things of us as being a burden. Let me just exemplify. I know I should pray, but I don't have time. Well, why not? Number one, why do you know you should pray? Well, I just know I should. I also know I should read my Bible. Okay, well, why do you know that? Well, because, you know, you get things in the Bible and so forth. I mean, it's obvious. I'm supposed to pray and I'm supposed to read my Bible and, you know, probably throw in some worship as well. And don't even talk about fasting. All right, just don't. Let's leave that one alone for right now. I still got the other three to deal with. I don't want to think about doing the other three when I'm hungry, okay? So, leave me alone. Let me eat. Let's just deal with these other three. I know I'm supposed to read. I know I'm supposed to pray. I know I'm supposed to worship. I know I'm supposed to... But how am I supposed to do that? Brother Jim, Pastor, you expect too much of us. Really? You're laying that on me? When I'm not the one that wrote the Bible? When I stand up and I talk about prayer, praying in the Spirit, and if time is mentioned, like specific amounts of time, some people immediately just, you know, I can't do that much. I can't pray that long. I can't. Okay, fine. What's God want you to do? I don't know. What's He want you to do? I'm not even going to mention a time. What does He want of you? Some people are afraid to ask. Here's the thing. If He says, I want X amount of time from you, He's presenting to you a yoke, His burden. The flesh says, He's burdening me down with more stuff. He's adding to everything I have to do. No, He's not. He is subtracting from what you have to do. You say, well, how do you figure that? You have 24 hours, right? I mean, I have 24 hours a day. I'm guessing you have the same. So here we have 24 hours. That means there's something in our life that's not supposed to be there. There's something in our life that's causing a problem. We just don't see it. We don't recognize it as such. Let me just pick on a simple one. Television. We're watching too much TV. Okay? Now, we think watching TV is an escape. Well, you know, I don't have to think about problems. I just watch television. Yeah, watch all their problems. Sit there and think, glad that's not me. It's my way of escape. It's my, you know, however you want to term that. But what you don't realize is you're adding to the problems in your life. Now, I'm just using this as an example. It may not apply to everybody. I realize that. And when He says, okay, I want this much time from you, and you sit down and you look at you, it's like, well, how am I going to do that? You know, I've got all this stuff. And His response would be, well, just eliminate that TV show. What? But I like it. That's my escape. Yeah, your escape from Him. That is my escape. That's my escape. And what He's trying to do is help us see that when we are now focusing on the TV and we see that as our escape, we're no longer having the joy set before us. And so I say, TV is my escape. He says, you don't see this correctly. That's not your escape. It's adding to your problems. What I'm trying to do is eliminate problems from your life. And I'm saying, give me X amount of time in a day, and you're going to begin to see the joy that's set before you. And you're going to realize that what I'm presenting to you is not heaviness. No, my yoke is easy. My burden is light. You just don't see it that way. The flesh rebels against that. The flesh is a liar and thinks it knows better than God. Let's be honest. I can't do everything God asks of me. So in other words, what you're saying is God has no clue what's going on in your life, and He is totally oblivious. He hasn't checked the angels' record books of what's been going on for you. And so He just arbitrarily asks you to do something without any consideration for you whatsoever. What He's asking is full of consideration for us. The yoke and the burden of the Lord will never, ever, italics, underline, bold, capital letters, never, ever produce stress, pressure, fear, confusion, or heaviness. It will never produce any of that. If you believe you're feeling those things relative to obedience to God, you're either not being obedient to Him, or you really don't know what He wants. Because His burden and His yoke cannot produce these things. It can't. It cannot. It also cannot produce physical exhaustion. Now, I'm not tired is a totally different thing. Even Jesus got tired. We're not talking tired. Everybody gets tired. I'm talking about physical exhaustion. The kind that'll put you in a sick bed. You know what I mean? It'll wear you out, put you down, maybe even put you in a hospital, mess up your body. His yoke and His burden will never, ever, ever, ever produce physical exhaustion. It won't happen. It won't produce stress. It won't produce fear. Won't produce pressure. Won't produce heaviness. Won't produce confusion. Won't produce physical exhaustion. It won't produce any of those things, ever. So if you're feeling those things, then maybe you're adding to the yoke and the burden in a way that you shouldn't. It's easy for us to want to help God. It's easy for us to interpret His instructions the way that we want to interpret them, and then do them our way without doing them His way. But Jesus, for the joy that was set before Him, He endured 3.5 years of criticism, murder attempts, and ultimately His own death on the cross for the joy that was set before Him. Now, I want to give you 5 things you can do to lose your joy. Number one, refuse to take His yoke. Number two, refuse to take His burden. Number three, choose your own yoke. Number four, choose your own burden. And number five, exalt the natural over spiritual truth. Those 5 things will cause you to lose your joy. The potential will still be in your new nature. You understand that. But it will cause you to lose your joy. Number 3 and 4, choosing your own yoke and choosing your own burden, those two will add stress and confusion and exhaustion and pressure and so forth and heaviness to your life. Those two will add all of that to your life. See, it is impossible. You know what? We could probably have, no joke, 1,000, 2,000, 3,000 pastors stand up in here and one by one tell us how that serving God added stress, pressure, heaviness, exhaustion, etc. and so forth. They would tell you that. But yet, Jesus Christ, our Savior, has said, "My yoke is easy and My burden is light." Therefore, every one of those pastors, they mean what they say, but they're wrong. Totally wrong. I forget the number, but there are, I think it's like, I forget what the number, it's a crazy number of ministers leaving the ministry every month because of stress, because of pressure. Well, maybe they weren't called to begin with. All right, well, then you took on the wrong yoke and the wrong burden. But when it's genuine, see, taking on His yoke, taking on His burden is not simply taking on an assignment, it's also taking on the instructions for the fulfillment of that assignment. This is why we have to spend time with Him. Your Father, what do You want done? Not My will, but Yours be done. But when we begin to serve Him and we take His yoke and His burden, it cannot produce all that other stuff. It's impossible. It can't. Jesus bore the heaviest yoke and the heaviest burden for us there on the cross. There's no heavier burden, no heavier yoke. He did it. Then He turns right around and says, "Look, take My yoke, take My burden. They're light, they're easy." Therefore, I know that I can... That just doesn't mean it won't require work. It doesn't mean it might not require, you know, long hours some days and so forth. However, the stress, the pressure, the heaviness, the physical exhaustion, all that stuff, it will not be there. It will not exist. It's impossible for it to exist. When you say some... When I use absolute terms like that, it's impossible for it to exist, I guarantee you there are people out there going to argue with that. You just don't know what it's like to pastor the church I pastor. You just don't know what it's like for this and don't know what it's like for that. You're right, I don't. I honestly don't, but I can't go against what the Word of God says. And constantly we're seeing verses in reference to the joy. I only used a few of them tonight. Just look up the word joy and go through Scripture and see how many verses use the word joy in a way that would apply to us. You either accept what the Word has to say or you don't. And here, Jesus is saying, my joy. I want my joy to remain in them. I'll guarantee you, Jesus was never stressed except when he was praying in the garden and his sweat became as drops of blood. Okay? Well, see, we don't have to go through that. He did it for us. That means I never have to go through intense stress or pressure. I never have to go through it. Now, see, this right here is a wake-up call. How many of us deal with stress and... Yes, well, that's what you're talking about, Brother Martin, has to do with Christian things. You need to learn how to live in the real world. Stress is stress. Heaviness is heaviness. When you take His yoke and His burden, it touches the real world as well. Meaning I can't separate my church life from my work life and say, well, you know, work life is different. No, it's not. Not relative to what we're seeing here. Never forget, with God, there is always an answer. With God, there is always an answer. Now, it may take a lot of prayer to get that answer. But there's always an answer. There's always an answer. These are things that I've learned over the years. You know, computer problems. Who likes computer problems? You're weird if you like computer problems. Really weird. Okay, you know, let's play a game. Which would you rather have? A 40-day fast or 40 days of computer problems? I will fast. I don't care. Now, that wasn't a prophecy here, okay? That was just... that was not a prophecy, Lord. That was not a... There's always an answer, no matter what. Our problem is too often we try to figure the answers out to everything. Our problem is we take the yoke and the burden. We create yokes and burdens. Well, the Bible says, cast your care onto Him. He cares for you. So, let God worry about it. I mean, He doesn't, but you understand the concept. When I go before the Lord, you know what? Let me say it like this. I truly believe that few Christians, and I'm going to include myself in this, really know how to tap into the joy we've read about tonight. I really believe that. I'm guilty too. Because I'm getting better at it. I really am. I'm learning this more. But even now and then, I catch myself creating a yoke and a burden. You know where we create yokes and burdens? It's in our head, in our mind. That's where we create them. External problems are going to be there, you know, whatever. In this life you shall have tribulation. External problems are going to be there. But we make them a yoke or a burden by how we deal with them in our mind. I would say that when we pray, one of the things that would help us, and I need to do this more too, Father, Holy Spirit, help me understand how to bear the fruit of this joy. See, it's not so much a matter of receiving it. I understand the concept, not bad, not wrong terminology to use it. But the fruit of my spirit is joy, among other things. So, Holy Spirit, help me understand how to bear the fruit of this joy. Because it's in me. It's there. How do I fertilize it? How do I water it? Remember a couple of times it connected joy to the Holy Ghost? Could it be that the more I pray in tongues, the more that joy is going to be maturing inside me? I think so. But if there are other ways that as individuals that we need to tap into, help me understand how to receive this joy. Help me understand how to bear the fruit of this joy. Because when that joy is set before me, that is going to strengthen me to go through whatever I do go through, but it's also going to help give me clarity of vision for what the Father wants me to do here in this life. I want this joy. I realize there are going to be times I really won't be all that happy about stuff, but I will still have the sustaining joy. That joy unspeakable and full of glory. I'll have that. So I want to leave this with you tonight, and that is, during a time of prayer, it doesn't have to be a lengthy prayer. Just, you know, help me, Father, by the ministry of the Holy Spirit, help me understand how to receive, bear this fruit of joy. Help me understand how to keep the joy set before me. And help me understand how to take the yoke and the burden of the Lord and lay my own down. I want that joy to remain in me.